So we're celebrating tonight a very special night. Greg V has brought his father, who is celebrating this Saturday, his 101st birthday. So let's congratulate this good man. Congratulations to you. That's wonderful. Do you want to stand up? Stand up. Let everybody take a good look at you. There he is. Look at that. That's wonderful. Congratulations to you. Thank you. He told me I was a mere child. So here's the story, folks. It's an old Hindu story parable about a tiger cub raised by goats. The cub learned to bleat and nibble grass and to behave like a goat. One night, a tiger attacked the goats, and they all scattered for safety. But the tiger cub just stayed there, kept grazing and crying like a goat, but was not frightened. The old tiger roared, "What are you doing here, living with these cowardly goats?" And he grabbed the cub by its scuff, dragged him to a pond, and said, "Look how our faces are reflected in this water. And now you know who you are, and you know whose you are." So the tiger took the cub home, taught him how to catch animals, eat their meat, roar, and act like a tiger. The tiger cub discovered his true self. I suppose there's lots of teachings in that. Not just the obvious teaching of, if you hang around with goats, you're going to act like a goat. But even more, it strikes me that tonight, above all nights in our church year, what's presented to us is something that is so foundational, so fundamental to our walk. And that is that just as Jesus in that Jordan River came to discover who he was. He had been following John, his cousin. He goes into the waters of repentance. John was baptizing a baptism which was custom to the Jews of healing and washing and forgiveness. And he comes out of that water, and he's in prayer, Luke says. And having experienced that and then praying about it, he came to see through the voice that came from that spirit that hovered over him that he was the beloved Son of God and that he was so well pleased, this God, pleased in him. And because of that, he was given a mission then to go out, not just as a follower of John, not as just a disciple of repentance, but he was called to go out as Savior of the world, the beloved of the living God, to go out and to tell every person, lepers, prostitutes, people separated in distance, that he had come to bring them life. And my brothers and sisters, that's what we've received. Each one of us, at the time of our baptism, it's not just the baptism of repentance. We have the full baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire, Luke says. Holy Spirit and fire. And we too hear that word. You are my beloved daughter. You are my beloved son. My favor rests on you. That depends on if you're good or bad or if you've done this or that. My favor rests, remains on you. And so what we have to believe, it strikes me, is to quit listening to the voices of those goats that say to us, we are what we've done. I've been unfaithful, so I'm unfaithful. I've told lies and cheated, so I'm a cheater. Whatever it is. My brothers and sisters, we are not what we've done. We are not what we've done. We are beloved sons and daughters of the loving God, of the living God. And if we listen to that voice inside us or the voice of other people, I don't care if it's your husband and wife, I don't care if it's your children, I don't care if it's your best friend, whoever it is, or your enemy. We go down with that. And our days are dark. And our lives are not full of the mission that comes when we believe that we are beloved of our God. So I would just suggest to you tonight this simple question. What will you do? What will you do with that one precious, wild life that's yours? Are we going to spend our days frittering over mistakes in our lives, anxieties, tensions? Yes, we do. Yes, we do. But somehow, on this Sunday, the end of our Christmas season, having celebrated Christmas, having celebrated this great gift of the Epiphany, having celebrated now tonight this great gift of the baptism of our blessed Lord, that we hear that voice, that we live in our belovedness, and that we take up whatever it is that is uniquely yours. Each one of us have a very special plan given to us by our God, and only you or I can accomplish that. And I think we have to look for ways to make sure that we haven't gone down some false path, something that's a waste of time and a waste of energy and really isn't what God calls us to do. And I think there are little signs in our life that help us to confirm that if we can live in that belovedness and if we're generous in our response and if we do what God really has for us in store for our lives. Our lives are full and graceful, not perfect and sometimes difficult, but they're there. Three Sundays ago, we were having our young adult Christmas party. There's no reason in the world why I should be invited to that. I never get invited to the parties anymore. I just get invited to the events. But that's okay. I'm 73, for God's sake, so I ought to grow up. And so I was invited, and so I said, well, you know, this is the night I'm going to go. So I was finished Mass and upstairs in my room, and that wonderful beeper that I have in my pocket here went off. And here's living proof. This is the beeper. And I picked it up, and a hospice nurse called and said, Monsignor, I've called 8 parishes in the West Side. And can't get a living voice. And I've got a patient that's dying way over in, well, I won't tell you where it is. Because I don't want the pastor to get into trouble. But I talked to him about it. So I said, lucky me. That's what I do in my head, you know. That's not my belovedness. That's the other side of me. And so I said, okay, how do I get there? Because I didn't know where it was. So he gave me directions. Well, of course, it was raining, and I got out of my car, and I'm looking for street lights, and it's dark, and you know, all this stuff. Well, I finally got there about a half an hour later. I went into this room, in this home, and there was 3 children, a daughter, and two brothers, and a in-law, one in-law and the husband. And this woman had been suffering with cancer for a long time. Her body was very distended, and she was really right at the door. I woke her up because my voice is loud. And she came alive. We all put our hands on her, and I gave her the Eucharist, this tiny little piece of Eucharist. We blessed her. 2 weeks later, I left. You know, I was grateful. Angry that the guy that was supposed to be there wasn't there. I was there, but it's okay. I did it. 2 weeks later, I get this letter from this wonderful man telling me that it made all the difference in the world. Now, that took literally an hour out of my life. Little, it's tiny in comparison to things in some way. But it said to me, God Almighty sakes, what are the things that are really important? What are we really asked to do? And when we do it, when we follow that, sometimes even begrudgingly, but when we follow that, there's great peace and great confirmation. So pay attention, my sisters and brothers. Every one of us, every one of us has that call. Right out of the beloved gift that's been given to us in our baptism. And it just takes that response to where we are called to be in our lives. That's the question. What will you do? What will I do with that one wild, precious life?